cool because I was in here Super Bowl night and I got to hear Wayne's story. And I can't tell you the number of times that I've seen him at Home Depot just there, you know, being nice, loving on people and stuff. So cool that he gets to share his story. I'm telling you, whenever you have a job where you can share your story, that's a good job. Pretty excited about that. Let me share just a little bit about myself. For those of y'all that don't know, Mary Helen is my wife, right over there, the one leading worship. If there's anything good that comes out of me, she probably told it to me once or twice. So, I'm kidding. She's really awesome, though. But the thing is that I didn't grow up going to church, y'all. I didn't come to know the Lord until I was probably about 20 years old or so. And came in here on a Sunday night, just began a relationship with Jesus, maybe a week or so, a month or so, somewhere around there, earlier, and came in here, got connected. And I can tell you that if you're here tonight, you're in a good place. That was some years ago. What year is this, 2020? That was 18 years ago. And I'm so thankful that God has planted me and my family here and that we are going forward in God. And I just want to tell you, somebody's watching you. You know, during worship tonight, I just want you to know somebody is watching you. Before long, my oldest girl, Emma, she's going to be in here with us. That's going to be fun. She'll be turning 5, so she will be coming in here on Sunday nights. She's going to be watching you. Pastor Ronnie said something this morning in the SALT class where we were commissioning people that was stepping up into leadership and, you know, just wanting to serve more or less. That's a better term for it. And he said, if everybody in my church was just like me, what kind of church would my church be? So questionable. Something to think about. Something for us to question ourselves. Because, you know what, I believe that God is raising up leaders around here. I believe that God is raising up people, that you're going to be an influence wherever you go. So he said that this morning, and it stuck with me. Pastor Ronnie, Pastor Ken, thank y'all so much for giving me the opportunity to preach. Love y'all so much. Tell you, we have got the best pastors in the world. That's all there is to it. We can take a minute for that. They are amazing. And I knew that long before I was getting opportunities to speak, how amazing they were. And we really do love them a lot. So make sure you let them know that. So, y'all got time for a quick story? We're telling stories tonight. Let me tell you this quick story. So, I got a friend of mine that he doesn't come here, but he goes to another church, really loves Jesus and stuff. And anyway, we talk a lot. If you're a guy and you think, you know what, I don't have anybody to talk to during the week, get my phone number. I drive a truck, so I got about a two-hour drive. I can wear your ear out talking to you. I'm kidding, but this guy drives a lot too. And we were talking. And anyway, he's just really bold whenever it comes to sharing Jesus with people. And he was working on a construction site, and it was him and some other guys there. And anyway, he just went up to him, and I guess he could probably tell, you know, they were probably from Middle Eastern descent, something like that. And he just asked him, do y'all know Jesus? And anyway, they looked at him, and they go, yes. Well, he dug a little bit deeper, and he goes, well, how'd you come to learn about him? Where y'all from? You know, stuff like that. Anyway, one of the guys goes, Jesus began to appear to my wife in dreams. And then the other dude, and then the guy, that after he said that, he goes, and I got saved in the underground church in Iran. Can I tell you what? Y'all, I heard that story, and I was like, wow. And his brother had gotten saved, too, and was there with him. Y'all, God's showing up. However he wants to do it. If he wants to appear to somebody in dream, great. You know what? If he wants to use me, great. If he wants to use any of y'all, great. And I think we all need to be sensitive to allowing God to use us however he wants to. So let's go ahead and get rolling tonight. I'm excited. We're talking about keep on trucking. Now, I want to let you know that this message is not just for truck drivers. If you have never driven a truck or you have no desire to drive a truck, this message is still for you. It was funny. Mary Helen and I have conversations sometimes about if she ever got to ride with me. And sometimes driving a truck, in the industry that I'm in, I'm not always backing up to a dock. I might be pulling onto a farmhouse or something like that. Not up on the farmhouse, but on the farmhouse property. The reason I say that is because you can bump into things and stuff like that. But anyway, so you're having to get into positions sometimes that are not fun to get into. They're not easy. You don't have the yellow lines to help guide you exactly how to back in. And anyway, we were talking about it, and she said, it'd be so fun to go with you one day. And I said, you know what? Some of the things I get into, she was like, oh, I would just close my eyes. And I said, you know, because she likes to help me drive anyway, so I could imagine how it would be in a big truck whenever she's thinking, I can't see something. And sometimes you really can't see something. You think, oh, thank you, Jesus, that I did not hit that. So anyway, yes, I drive a truck. And that's my occupation. But that is not who I am. And can I tell you something? That we don't ever need to let our identity be wrapped up in our occupation. Pastor Ronnie mentioned this earlier. I'm a child of the Most High God before I am anything. Because here's the deal. If that job ever runs out or something else ever does, you know what? I'm okay. Because I'm a child of the Most High King. He is my provider, not my job. Yeah, he blessed me with an awesome job. But you know what? I know that he put me in that position. And I know that he can move me and shift me whenever or however he wants. So I've learned some things from truck driving, though, that I believe can help us in our walk with God. There was this one time in Kasi, y'all. How many of y'all know what Kasi is? I mean, you blink and you're through it. It's like half a blink and you're through it. Seriously, there is not much there. So I had this delivery out there, and I pulled up my GPS, and it showed me a county road. County roads and big trucks are not fun. Anytime I have a delivery on a county road, it's not cool. So I start following my GPS, and I'm going. And y'all, I wind up like on a Jeep trail. But the size of my truck is huge. It's wide. And I mean, there is like hardly anything in me. So I can't go backwards. Can't back out of this place. I'm deep, y'all. I'm talking about I am deep. It's just, it's a bad place. You don't want to be here in an 18-wheeler. Sure enough, sometimes I find myself in those positions. And my prayer life just begins to increase substantially through that. But that's how God and I roll. So anyway, you find yourself in these positions sometimes. And as I'm going, I'm realizing, you know what, I can't turn around. I can't back out of here. I've got to keep going. I've got to keep following this GPS because it shows that there is something up here that, you know what, I can't see. But I know that going back's not an option. I know I've got to go forward. Can I tell you what, in your walk with God, there's going to be things that you cannot go back to, and you got to keep going forward. You got to keep stepping out. Keep on trusting God, even whenever you can't see the end result. You got to keep going forward. So that brings me to my first point. Follow your GPS. In my own personal time, I've been reading in the book of John, and this is my favorite of the four Gospels. As a new believer, it was my first book of the Bible to read and journal each chapter and what it spoke to me. Free tip. Try doing that and see what happens, y'all. You would be surprised what God shows you. And the thing I've noticed it through this time, reading it, and I've read the book of John before and stuff like that, but I've noticed how much of a tenacious leader that Jesus was. Y'all, Jesus wasn't a sissy by any means. He was a carpenter, so I imagine the guy probably had some guns on him. But I'm sorry, that's just the way my mind goes sometimes whenever I'm reading. I'm thinking carpentry all day long, no power tools, no air drills or anything like that. Yeah, he's probably pretty strong. So I've noticed that he was a tenacious leader. And the definition of tenacious, y'all, is not readily relinquishing a position, principle, or course of action determined. As followers of Jesus, we are called to be tenacious, not passive. Too many believers have let things get them off course. Hear this. The time we are living in doesn't require passivity, but tenacity. Have you noticed that the world has lost its brain? Seriously. I don't know how else to put it. The things that are being allowed, the things that are going on, the world has lost its brain. As believers, we got to have a backbone and be willing to stand up for the things that are right. Be willing to speak into people's lives, even whenever it may be a little uncomfortable. How many of y'all ever had an uncomfortable conversation with somebody? How many of y'all, somebody's had an uncomfortable conversation with you, but it changed your life? Yeah, I've been in that boat a couple times. The great thing is that whenever we do that, you know what, we're going to see God move in amazing ways. And all of us will face things that will have the potential to derail us. Like what Wayne was sharing about. And I didn't know he was going to share tonight, but I'm really glad he did because he really set me up to go good on this message. Thank you, Wayne. But we all have things that have the potential to derail us. Maybe it's not getting the job we wanted. Maybe it's a friend pulling away from God and you. Or it could be a whole list of things. But these things don't have to derail us. So we will follow our GPS, which is our Bible. And our Bible is a book. It's a love letter from your Heavenly Father who's crazy about you. If you don't know anything about God, know that He loves you. It's like that song that we sang tonight. For God so loved the world, and He loved us, loves us so much. Remember this, your Bible is your GPS. It's God personally speaking to you. Y'all, you don't have to wait for somebody to come in to give you a word or somebody to grab you in the hallway and say, I've got a word from the Lord for you. Those things are great when they happen, but you know what? I get a lot of words from my Bible. I really do. And remember that. It's God personally speaking to you. Got that acronym from a good friend, but it's really cool. So I stole it from him because he's not here tonight. But he'll probably listen to the podcast. But remember that. It's God personally speaking to you. It's so important that we have that time with God where we're sitting down, where we're reading our Bibles. Tips for reading your Bible. You might ask me right now, Cody, why are you talking about something so basic on a Sunday night? You know why? Because I came in here, like I shared earlier, on a Sunday night, and I didn't know much about the Bible at all. So I believe that there are people here tonight that, you know what, it's your first time here and you don't know much, but you're learning some things that are going to help you in your walk with God. So that's why I go over some of the basics as we talk. And if for nothing else, write it down and use it on somebody that you're helping in their relationship with God. Letter A, get a version you can understand. King James Version, I'll be honest with you, it's hard for me. I've graduated. I'm reading New King James a little bit more now and stuff like that. But we've got the NLT Version right up here, New Living Translation. If you don't have a Bible, make sure you get one before you get out of here. It's $5. Not really, I'm kidding. It's free. It's free, so come up here and get one. Letter B. We can just start making a little bit extra money. We need to send some teenagers to camp. I'm kidding, y'all. We're blessed. Letter B. Start in one of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. Like I said, John was the first one I started in. I really highly recommend that. But you know what? I just want you reading your Bible more than anything. But the book of John is a great one. Letter C, set a time. In setting a time, don't be legalistic or unrealistic. Here's the thing. If you're not a morning person, first thing whenever you roll out of bed is probably not the best time for you. You might want to wait 30 or 40 minutes or so. Get you a cup of coffee. Get you some caffeine flowing and all that. How many of y'all thankful to drink caffeine again after the fast? You know what I'm saying? How many of y'all realized you were drinking way too much whenever the fast started? Yeah, that was me right there. It's like, whoo, Lord, help me here. But set a time. Don't be legalistic or unrealistic. Don't think if you have a plan to set out and spend some time with God in the morning and you aren't able to because maybe your kids are acting crazy or maybe something's just happening, you got a flat tire or whatever. Don't think that God won't show up whenever you do get a chance to spend time with Him. So that's important. Don't be legalistic or unrealistic. And letter D, start with one chapter a day. Letter D, start with one chapter a day. I was thinking, did I say letter or number? Letter D, start with one chapter a day and finish that book that you're reading that you're on. One chapter a day, y'all. That's what I want to challenge you to this week. Be consistent. One chapter. You can normally get through any chapter in the Bible within about 15 minutes or so, give or take. Probably a lot less for a lot of them. But one chapter. Don't sit down and say, you know what, I'm going to read 10 or 12 chapters. That's great whenever you have the time to do that, and sometimes it does happen. Sometimes I'm reading a chapter, and I get hung up on one verse, and I'm just totally meditating on that one verse. And to meditate on it, it's not really any weird thing. Joshua 1:8 says, meditate on this book of the law day and night so that you'll know what's in it. And there's a promise that goes along with it, but I can't remember all of it. But it says, meditate on this book of the law. And it's what that actually is it's a picture of a cow chewing the cud. You know what that is? That's a cow taking a big old chunk of grass, chewing, swallowing it, and then regurgitating it. Yeah, I know, it's so disgusting. But that's what it is, taking in the Word of God and bringing it back up, thinking about it, meditate. And you can actually look at it as murmuring, you know what, I'm gonna declare what the Word of God says. And you will be so surprised because you will face things and all of a sudden what you took in is going to come back out in the best way possible. It's not like the food that you took in that came back up and it was horrible. This is spiritual food. It's a good deal, I know. All right. Something else to remember, consistency compounds. Consistency compounds. Consistency is more important than anything, y'all. I used to go to the gym a lot and work out, and Mary Helen and I did whenever we first started dating. That was one of the things that we enjoyed to do. Still enjoy to do it, but with two little munchkins, it just makes things a lot more difficult. She's more disciplined than me. She gets up in the mornings and works out and stuff, and I push heavy pallets around at work. So that's my workout right there. But you would see people come in once a month or so, once a week, and they would just do this hard workout, and then that would be it. You wouldn't see them for another week or something like that. But I can tell you in my own walk, I saw so much physical growth in my life and physical strength increase whenever I was just consistent, day in, day out, 20-minute workout, 30-minute workout, whatever it was, making sure I was going to be able to get that workout in. Can I tell you what is so much more important than that is our spiritual workout, is the time that we're spending with God. If we can do, you know, be consistent, y'all. Consistency compounds. So remember that. So by reading our Bibles, we get to see the most tenacious, merciful, grace-empowering leader there ever was. There are some things that I've picked up since I've been going through the book of John. It's not exhaustive because we would be here all night and we don't want to do that. These are just some highlights. Number two, don't listen to distractions. I'm going to read a story real quick. John 5 says, afterward, Jesus returned to Jerusalem, one of the Jewish holy days, inside the city near the sheep gate. Remember, we're talking about don't listen to distractions. Near the sheep gate was the pool of Bethesda with five covered porches. Crowds of sick people, blind, lame, or paralyzed, lay on the porches. One of the men lying there had been sick for 38 years. 38 years, y'all. How many of y'all been sick for a week and it's just like, you feel like it's like the end of the world or something? Yeah, been there before. When Jesus saw him, he knew he had been ill for a long time. He asked, would you like to get well? Verse 7, I can't, sir, the sick man said, for I have no one to put me in the pool when the water bubbles up. Someone always gets in ahead of me. Jesus told him, stand up, pick up your mat, and walk. Instantly, the man was healed. He rolled up his sleeping mat and began walking. But this miracle happened on the Sabbath. It was a day of rest. So the Jewish leaders objected, and they said to the man who was cured, you can't work on the Sabbath. The law doesn't allow you to carry the sleeping mat. It was not nearly as nice as I just read it right there. It was a lot harsher, I guarantee you. But he replied, the man who healed me told me, pick up your mat and walk. Who said such a thing as that? They demanded. The man didn't know, for Jesus disappeared into the crowd. But afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and told him, now you are well, so stop sinning, or something even worse may happen to you. Then the man went and told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who healed him. Verse 16, so the Jewish leaders began harassing Jesus for breaking the Sabbath rules. But Jesus replied, hear this, my Father is always working, and so am I. So the Jewish leaders tried all the harder to find a way to kill him. Kill him, y'all, kill him. For he not only broke the Sabbath, he called his Father, he called God his Father, thereby making himself equal with God. So let's break this down. Jesus had just healed a man who had been sick for 38 years. Y'all, 38 years is a long time. Seriously, think about it. 38 years, can you imagine that? And I'm thinking about that, and this man's got to be so happy, and then you got these people coming in just dream crushers. Dude hadn't been able to get up and walk, and now he's up and he's walking, and you got these people mad because he's healed, and it wasn't done the way that he thought that it was done. One time at Christmas time, my wife, Mary Helen, had been sick for a while. And y'all, I came in and I went to one of our family's houses and stuff. And anyway, she had been really, really sick. And she was like, I just want to feel better. And she's crawling around on the floor and this and that and just moaning and groaning. And I'm like, sugar, do I need to take you to the hospital? She goes, I might be being a little dramatic. So needless to say, all of us can get to feeling like that after we've been sick for a while. Tell you another funny story about faith real quick. My nephew Dylan's here. I'm going to pick on him for just a minute. So it was one Christmas. Mary Helen made a good dessert. My wife can make some awesome food and awesome desserts. If you've had some, you know. If you haven't, I'll pray for you that you get some. It'll change your life. Not really, but they are really good. And so anyway, she came down with this bad stomach virus that, it was a stomach virus, so you know what goes on with stomach viruses. And anyway, so she came down with this, and she was supposed to bring the dessert to Christmas. Well, we had it But of course, nobody's like, I don't want to eat that. My nephew Dylan's like, I will pray over it and eat it. It will be fine. I will sanctify it through the name of the Jesus, and we will go forward. Anyway, we were like, Dylan, you might die. You can't do this. So anyway, two funny stories about my family right there. But we've all known what it's like to be sick for a while. And think about how much this guy missed out on. Think about that, y'all. Talk about a case of FOMO. Never thought I'd use that word from the pulpit, but it means the fear of missing out. I learned some things from these teenagers on vocabulary sometimes. I'm a little behind the curve, but it's okay. But y'all, this guy, he had missed out on so much. He had been sick. Probably missed out on family events. You know, no telling what. Do we know if he had a family? I don't know. I'm sure he did. I'm sure there were some people that, you know what, he really cared about that he wasn't able to see. But Jesus, he had compassion on this man, and he healed him. And I just can't imagine the excitement that was in him whenever Jesus tells him, pick up your mat and walk. And then you got the religious people that are upset. It would be like us praying for somebody that we all knew. Maybe it was somebody that we worked at, that we saw at the store or something like that. And everybody just, we want to see this person saved. They give their heart to the Lord, and they come in here, and maybe you're the one that gets to lead them in here. And they come in here, and you know what? Maybe they're wearing flip-flops and a tank top on a Sunday morning, and people start getting a bad vibe off them. I can't believe that. Well, you know what? Less than 24 hours ago, they were lost as a goose in a hailstorm. Seriously. And now they're going forward in their relationship with God. But I love that, and I really don't think it would happen so much here. Pastor Ronnie and Pastor Kim have done such a good job in creating an environment for people to come in as they are. And God is way more interested in a person's heart rather than a person's outward appearance. And I believe that whenever people come in here lost, and they may not have it all together, y'all are such a loving group. Just to love on people, embrace them, and move, help them move forward into what God has called them to do. Verse 18, so the Jewish leaders tried all the harder to find a way to kill him, to kill Jesus. He healed somebody, and now you got people wanting to kill you. Now, would that just not be a little frustrating? I mean, I think I'd be a little frustrated over the deal. But, and I've done some things that people probably didn't like, but I don't think I ever had anyone wanting to kill me that I know about anyway. If you know of somebody wanting to kill me, don't tell me. I'm just trusting God's protection. But the Jewish leaders were hung up on rules and traditions. They were missing the Messiah right in front of them. Later on, it says, Jesus was saying, you search the scriptures, but the scriptures point to me. And they did. If we ever get hung up on the way we've always done things, we will miss the new things that Jesus is wanting to do. I'm going to share that again. If we ever get hung up on the way we've always done things, we will miss the new things that Jesus is wanting to do. Pastor Ronnie was sharing about the two people that got baptized in the Holy Spirit this morning. Neither one of them was in the sanctuary, I don't believe. I know one of them wasn't. Not for sure about the other one. Can I tell you what? That might be out of somebody's norm. Can you pray for somebody somewhere else? Yes, you can. We don't have to do things the way things have always been done. You know, we had the nights of worship not too long ago, and it was so cool on a Saturday night. Two people loving Jesus here just worshiping God, get baptized in the Holy Spirit. But it's because they chose to step out of their box from saying, I'm just going to come on Sunday morning, Sunday evening. You know what? I'm going to come on Saturday night too. So be willing to do that. Be willing to step in to some new things. And as believers, we can't get focused and distracted by what someone may or may not be saying about us. We will get more focused on them rather than what God has called us to do. And the devil is so on purpose about capitalizing in the area of offense. Who in here has ever been offended? Okay, that should be every hand up. If your hand is not up, I'll offend you before you leave. I'm kidding. Not really. I don't want to do that. But there will always be a chance to be offended, and the devil will capitalize on that. And there will also be some things that you won't be able to explain or straighten out due to another person's inability to listen. Sometimes you may think, oh, you know what, if I could just talk to him, I could explain the offense to him. And there will be times, there's going to be more times, honestly, that you're going to be doing that part of it, sitting down talking with somebody and explaining why it happened, or maybe why you did something a certain way. Or it could just be you saying, you know what, I'm sorry, I didn't have my head on straight, and will you forgive me? That's an okay thing to say too. But there is going to be other times that people are just going to be choosing to be offended, and we can't let that derail us or keep us from moving forward into what God has called us to do. Because here's the deal, what God has called me to do is on me. It's not on if somebody else has offended me. It's not on that person. We don't have a choice on what voices we hear, but we can choose which ones will get our time. You have a choice on which ones will get your time. Heard a story of a pastor. He thought he could convince anyone about why he did or said something the way he did if he could just sit down and talk with them. He learned, however, that this was wishful thinking and realized he had to just keep on trucking and not get distracted. Y'all, there will be people who may not understand the way that you do things or things like that, but you have to choose to keep on going forward. Keep on doing what God has called you to do. There's a family member of mine and Mary Helen's, and Mary Helen and I got to go to Mardi Gras and do some outreach down there, and it's so cool because, you know what, you have a lot of lost people down there. You have people that are hurting, and by the way, Scott Hinkle's going to be here a couple weeks, next week, and he's kicking off the Joy of Sharing Jesus class. Make sure you're in there at 9:45 if you're not going through the membership class, and then Dave Kovic and I will pick it up, and we're going to run with it after that, so it's going to be a good time. But anyway, Scott Hinkle's the one that does the Mardi Gras outreach, and we were talking about Sharon just about, you know, going down there and doing that, and one of our family members said, Mardi Gras, y'all went down to Mardi Gras and shared Jesus? We're like, yeah, we did. And they just kind of looked at us, and I just said, you know what, there's a lot of hurting people down at Mardi Gras, and there is. You know what, that person may never get while we go into those environments and do those things, but it's okay. It's not going to derail me. It's not going to derail us. There might be people who don't understand why we let some people with the past that they have come in here. You know why we do? Because we believe Jesus changes lives. That's right. We're more worried about your future than your past. And y'all, that's a great thing, because there's things in my past I want to leave back there. Y'all know what I'm saying? All of us have those. So whenever people come in, we try and love on people and let them know that, you know what, it's not about your past. It's about where you're going. Matthew 7:6 says, don't waste what is holy on people who are unholy. Don't throw your pearls to pigs. They will trample the pearls and turn around and attack you. And it is futile to try and teach holy concepts to people who don't want to listen and will only tear apart what we say. As I read that, it made me look up the word futile, because I was like, you know, that's just not a common word that we use a lot. But futile is an adjective, and it means incapable of producing any useful results. Pointless. Remember this, if you wrestle with a pig, both of you are going to get muddy and the pig likes it. There's going to be some pigs that you got to make a choice to not wrestle with, because they will like it. Remember what we're talking about keeping on trucking. John 7:1-5, after this, Jesus traveled around Galilee. He wanted to stay out of Judea where the Jewish leaders were plotting his death. Yeah, that'd be a good idea. Because, you know, he still had to make it to the cross at this point. So he had to be smart about all that. But, okay, as I said that, there may be things that God has called you to do, and the enemy's going to bring up distractions in your life. It could be through a job. It could be through relationship or whatever. I believe a lot of you in here know the call of God that's on your life. Sift through the distractions, and the distractions just push them aside. Stay focused. And that's what Jesus was doing. But soon it was time for the Jewish Festival of Shelters. Really cool. Side note, truck driving one day out in Normandy, and I see all these tents set up, and that's what they were doing, celebrating the Festival of Shelters, some Jewish people, I guess, or something. I don't know. But it was like, wow, that's what they're doing. Cool. And Jesus' brother said to him, leave here and go to Judea where your followers can see your miracles. You can't become famous if you hide like this. If you can do such a wonderful thing, show yourself to the world. For even his brothers didn't believe him. Y'all, that's tough right there. Seriously. You know, you want your family to be able to trust you. You want your family to be able to see what God's doing in you. But you know what? Sometimes it's not going to happen. But we think about this, and I think sometimes we just gloss over the fact. But let's look at this. Could you imagine how Jesus must have felt? What did he feel like whenever that was said to him? Let's look at it again. And I'm sure it was said with some arrogance and stuff. It says, you can't be famous if you hide like this. If, that's a big important word. If, two-letter word that's got huge importance. If you can do such wonderful things, show yourself to the world. For even his brothers did not believe him. Jesus was fully man and fully God. And they threw that word in there, if you can do this. Always remember this, truth trumps a lie. Let's look at Matthew 3, 16 through 17. When he, talking about Jesus, had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately out of the water, and behold, the heavens were open to him, and he saw the Spirit of God, John saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Jesus knew his Heavenly Father's voice. And I think that whenever people would say stuff like that, he had to go back to the moment of his baptism to where he heard that. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Can I tell you what? If you are living for Jesus and you're following after him and you're doing his will, he is well pleased with you. And I loved what Mary Helen and even Pastor Ronnie shared earlier. And can I tell you what? Even if you've made some horrible mistakes, and you're bringing pieces to God. Mary Helen and I had this discussion the other night, and PR talked about it just a minute ago, and it really just it resonates with me. Even if you've made some horrible mistakes and you bring these pieces to God, he can begin to sift through them. He can begin to put together what needs to be put together. So don't think, you know what, Cody, I haven't been living for the Lord, and my life looks like a train wreck. Well, you know what? Bring the rails and the nails and the boards and the gravel and everything to God and let him put the train back on the tracks, because he will do that. So, prayer is us talking to God. Oh, I'm sorry. Number three, take time to pray. I got ahead of myself. Luke 5:16, and this is talking about Jesus. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Pray often. And remember, we're talking about how we're going to keep on going forward, how we're going to keep on trucking. Y'all, prayer is so important in your walk with God. It is probably one of the most important things. Between that and reading your Bible, I want you to do those things and fellowshipping with other believers. But prayer is us talking to God and God talking to us. It's not meant to be a one-sided conversation. So let me share with you real quick, just to kind of bring it into real world. What does the voice of God sound like to me personally? Many times it's a small voice. And one way I know that from hearing God is that I have an inner peace that only comes from him. And I want to help set some people free tonight, because you can have the peace of God and still be nervous about a situation. There are some things that I've prayed about, trusted God about, and I'm still nervous. But you know what? God's given me a peace that surpasses that nervousness. Remember this, not every choice that you will have to make in your walk with God will make everyone around you happy. I wish I could say, you know what, you say yes, and you begin to live for Jesus, and you start making godly choices, everybody's just going to throw a party for you. I'd be lying to you. They ain't going to do that. There's going to be some people that are upset. There's going to be some old friends that you have that all of a sudden don't come around anymore. They weren't really your friends anyway. They don't love you like the people that God's going to bring into your life. I'm going to give you some hope there, because I believe that God is bringing people into your life. But here's the thing. I would much rather have God's favor than the favor of a knucklehead. Knuckleheads ain't good for anything. How many of y'all ever had some knucklehead friends? Yeah. How many of y'all been the knucklehead friend? Probably once or twice. I love that we can be real on a Sunday night. We can be real all the time here. It's great. So, not every choice that you will make in your walk with God will make everyone around you happy. And one of my favorite quotes is by Smith Wigglesworth, and he said this. He said, seldom do I pray for hours at a time, but seldom does an hour go by that I don't pray. Y'all, I love being able to talk to God whenever I want. Whether I'm walking through a warehouse, making a delivery, Lord help this receiver, hurry up and get some stuff off my truck because I got to go, and all this stuff. Whatever it may be, God wants to hear about it. Can I tell you, God wants to hear about the big things that you got going on. God wants to hear about the small things going on. I was asked a question one time, how many hours a day do you pray? And I'm like, I don't know. A lot of it's in 30-second increments, you know. Now, granted, I do, you know, try and talk to God longer than that and stuff. But a lot of times it's just talking to God as I'm going throughout my day. And God cares about those things, and he loves those times that we are just communicating with him. And prayer will change situations and allow God to fight on our behalf. Y'all, whenever you begin to pray, it changes things. There are so many things that go on in our lives day to day. We can't get involved in everything, but you know what? I can pray about everything. I begin to pray about every situation that comes across. And side note here, if somebody you're talking to or whatever just says, hey, you know, will you be praying for me about this? Pray with them right then. And you can do that. There's a buddy of mine. He's in Normandy, and he's a believer, loves Jesus. And it was one day he was unloading a lawnmower or something off the back of my truck, and we're sitting there talking, and he said, hey, I need you to be praying about this for me. So before we left, we just both stood there. It looked like we were still talking, and we just began to pray. You know, now, if it's somebody else, you know, just kind of be on guard about that, because some guys, if you grab their hands or something like that, first thing they're going to do is pull back. They'll kind of get a little freaked out. So use some wisdom there. But say, Lord, how do you want to do this, you know? And just be open about that. And something else, too. Some people may have questions concerning the topic of prayer. And this is something that's just real, y'all. These are some real things that I feel like we can face on a day-to-day basis. You can face over your walk, over your time with God. Y'all, listen to me. It's not that late. We're good. Stay awake, stay awake, stay awake. I want you to pick up on this stuff. What if my prayer didn't get answered or healing didn't occur for someone and they died? How many of y'all have ever faced that one? I have. Lord, they didn't get healed the way I wanted them to. Lord, they didn't make it. Or they didn't make it, you know, this side. They wound up in heaven. So, I mean, this side or heaven, you know, I'm going to heaven. It was so funny. Pastor Ronnie was talking about the dude that was baptizing Philip getting transported. I asked Mary Helen, I said, baby, what would you do if I was baptizing people one day and I got transported out of here? She goes, God better take me too. I said, all right. Nothing about our kids coming with us, but she's coming. The kids will stay here. They're in good hands. I'm just playing. I know. It was just funny. It was funny. She didn't even think about that. I just thought I'd have to mess with her a little bit. But some people really have questions about that. What if my prayer didn't get answered and healing didn't occur for someone and they died? There's going to be some things that we put on the God I don't understand this shelf. It's a shelf right back there, and you just put it up behind you where you're not constantly looking at it. And then we keep going forward. Deuteronomy 29:29 says, the secret things belong to the Lord. My job is to pray and believe. God does the healing, y'all. God is so faithful. He does that. It's not me. It's not you. We're simply instruments that God uses. Am I good being an instrument? Yeah. What about if I'm an instrument that hardly ever gets brought out? You know, they got a cool percussion deal back here, but there's some instruments Emilio doesn't pull out except for certain songs. Are you okay being that instrument that doesn't get pulled out except for something songs? I want to be okay with that. God, whatever it may be, use me for whatever song you want me to use. Next point, God is always faithful. He is always faithful. John 20 says, now the first day of the week, and this was the crucifixion that happened and stuff, and we're past that now. Now the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene, this was the one who had been set free from demons and lived a pretty rough life, but Jesus used her. Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved. In the book of John, John always refers to himself as the other disciple whom, or the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. Peter therefore went out and the other disciples and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together. And the other disciple, talking about John, outran Peter and came to the tomb first. I don't know why John thinks that's important, but he wants you to know he's faster than Peter. And he, stooping down, looking in, saw the linen cloths lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following, and he went into the tomb. I like Peter. He's bold. He just jumps right in there and sees what's going on. And he saw the linen cloths lying there and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciples who came to the tomb first went in also and saw and believed, for as they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. Verse 11, Mary stood outside the tomb weeping. As she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And as she saw two angels in white sitting there, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord." She loved Jesus, y'all. She really loved him. "And I do not know where they have laid him." Now when she had said this, she turned to him and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And after I had not read this in a long time, this part, Jesus said to her, "Mary." I bet she never forgot the sound of his voice after that. Is that not just amazing, y'all? Blows me away. A woman of such a crazy background, and yet she's the first one that he appears to. It's amazing. But he says to her, "Mary." And she turned to him and said, "Rabboni," rabbi, which means teacher. And Jesus said to her, "Do not cling for me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father and my God and your God." Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and the things that he has spoken to her. Is God faithful? Yes, he is. Jesus knew. He said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I'm going to rebuild it." He knew the end of the story. Mary Magdalene did not know the end of the story, but she chose to keep on going in her walk with God, and she chose to step into that. And then she got to hear probably one of the most amazing things to her. It would have been to me, Jesus calling her name, Mary. Y'all, that blows me away. I want to share just some quick stories real quick. I believe stories help build our faith. Where Mary Helen and I have seen the faithfulness of God show up time and time again. Whenever we had been married for about 3 years, we were trying to have a baby. And anyway, we had tried and tried, and we'd gone to the doctors, and they said, you know, everything's good. And the thing is, you know, they were like, this could be different, but, you know, most part, you should be able to have a baby. And the thing is, that's good, but whenever you're not having that baby and you're going, what is going on here? You know, I know this, it kind of just makes you a little bit discouraged. But God was so faithful, y'all. And we just kept on trusting God and kept on believing. It never derailed us to where we weren't serving him or anything like that. And I want to encourage you, while you're waiting on your prayer to be answered, on your miracle to come through, don't let it derail you. Keep going forward. Keep serving people. The amazing thing is that whenever I'm serving people, I'm lifting God up and I'm not worried so much about myself. So, with Emma's story, my oldest little girl, there had been times that we thought we were going to have a baby and thought Mary Helen may be pregnant and then found out that she wasn't. On Mother's Day, a lady came up to Mary Helen here at church and said, "God wanted me to tell you this is the last Mother's Day that you won't be called Mom." Now, I'm sure glad God gave her that word and has never given me that word for anybody else. But it was from the Lord. And anyway, so we left here that day, and Mary Helen had a really rough morning and everything. But God was faithful, and he gave her this promise on that day, and we just said, "Lord, we trust you." At this point, we had had some letdowns. Like I said, we thought we may be pregnant, and then didn't happen. So, left here, and just kept on loving God. On Father's Day, Mary Helen got to give me a card that said, "Congratulations, you're going to be a daddy." That was on Father's Day. Emma, there's way more to the story that she'll have to share one time for you. But Emma came on Mary Helen's mom's birthday. Mary Helen lost her mom whenever she was 13 years old, went on to heaven. Y'all, whenever you're trying to have a baby, you can't pick out the date. You know, you're just going to do your part and hope that it works. And you can't pick out the date. But God chose to have that baby on Mary Helen's mom's birthday. It's awesome. Another way that God has showed up for us was financially. Whenever Mary Helen had these little girls and stuff, Emma, she said, you know, I want to stay home with them. And y'all, that was a great idea. But you know what, I'm the super nerd in our family, and I like to look over the budget and make sure everything's good. And I'm just not seeing how this is going to work out. And I'm going, oh, my goodness, I really like our house. I don't want to get foreclosed on, which is, you know, always a possibility. The bank doesn't really listen to you when you say, my wife wants to stay home with her kids. Our income is about to get taken down significantly. For some reason, they don't pay attention to us. But I've seen the faithfulness of God in our finances through that. We continued to give. We continued to trust God, continued to tithe, continued to serve, and continued to say, Lord, we trust you. And we were even telling some people the other night, we can look back and go, God, I don't understand how you did this, but you did it. Yeah. And then, since then, also seeing the faithfulness of God with increase and moving and shifting some things around to where, you know what, he's put us in a great place. But, you know what, we're still continuing to give. We're still continuing to trust God, because I know ultimately he is our provider. This last story is relatively new. So Mary Helen took Hannah, our youngest little munchkin, and if you've ever seen her, you know she is just a ball of energy. You see her running around up here all the time? Yeah, she's like that until she lays down at night or until she hits an episode and just starts whining like crazy and has really gone beyond the tiredness. But Mary Helen took her for a three-year-old checkup, and the doctor says, I hear a heart murmur. We got to check this out later on. This is what we're going to do. Said, you know, bring her back in a month and we'll see what happens. You know what? We didn't receive that. We just said, Lord, we're going to trust you however you want to do it, God. And we got some people together, and we laid hands on her one night. Bible says call the elders of the church and pray for them, anoint them with oil, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. And y'all, we just began to pray that. And I would declare it over her. Mary Helen would declare it over her. And just, I'm sure other people were too, but we began to declare that and see the faithfulness of God. Took her back on the one-month checkup. I get a text from Mary Helen. Sounds perfect. Y'all, that's the God that we serve. He is big enough to heal something major. He's big enough to heal something small. If your big toe's bothering you, you know what? God wants to heal it, whatever it may be. Let me go ahead and get y'all to stand on up. And if I can get the worship team to come on up and the prayer team. We've had a good time tonight, y'all. We've laughed. I was able to share some stories, I hope, that encouraged you. Most importantly, I want you to keep on trucking. You don't have to go change your careers, but I want you to keep going forward in your walk with God. Because ultimately, every one of us is going to have a decision to make. You're each going to face something that can derail you. You need to have your mind made up before you get out of here. I'm not quitting. I'm going forward. That was one thing that I learned from Pastor Ronnie through some failures and mistakes I had made, that quitting was never an option for the believer. And I believe that's so true. The most important thing is that your heart's right with God. Here's the thing. I'll share a scripture with you real quick. John 3:16, and many of you know it, but it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, so that those who believe in him won't perish, but will all have everlasting life. Can I tell you what? Unless Jesus comes back, we're all going to face death one day. I'm holding on to the group plan, though. As Pastor Ronnie says, that's what I'm believing for. Jesus, come on back whenever you're ready, Lord. Let us all go out together. I'll be waving at you as we're going up to heaven. That's what I'm holding on to. But if he doesn't, one day we're going to face death. And you're going to stand before a holy and righteous God. My question to you is, what's going to be your response? This is what God did so much that he sent his son, Jesus, to die a brutal death. And I didn't go through all the crucifixion. It's in John. You can go back and read it for yourself. But he sent him to die a criminal's death to pay for your sin and your penalty. It's like if you had to appear before a judge and he said, you know, I sentence you, or, you know, the fine is $50,000, whatever it may be. And you say, I don't have $50,000. But somebody come in and says, you know what, I want to pay Cody's fine of $50,000. Could that person do that? Yes, they could. They could do that. So the death penalty was us. It was going to separate us from coming into that relationship with God, being separated from him and living in a place called hell that is a real place, even though you may hear differently on different popular things on TV and podcasts and stuff like that. It's real. But God loved us so much that he sent Jesus so that no one would ever have to experience that. Our choice is to believe on him and what he did on the cross. And that word believe, it means to put your trust in him as you would like a parachute that you're putting on and jumping out of an airplane with. The cool thing about it is whenever you ask Jesus into your heart, he changes you. He makes you brand new again. The Bible says that anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. I got to share that with one of my uncles. Grew up Catholic, had a Catholic mindset of just following rules and religion and this and that. But he got to enter into a relationship with Jesus just a short time before he died. And there was a heart transformation that went forth. Because if we're just trying to do all the rules and do all the right things, we're never going to be good enough. But Jesus paid that ultimate price. He was the final sacrifice. Whenever he hung on the cross and got to the end of it, it says, it is finished. It means paid in full. Your debt was paid in full when you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So my first altar call is for that tonight. If you have never done that and you want to choose to make Jesus the Lord of your life, I want you to make your way up here right now. And it's not about wait until you get everything together. Y'all, there are some days I still don't have everything together and I need God to come in and help me. There's a lot of days like that. We all do. Seriously. We all need him. If we ever get to a point to where we think we don't need him, we're only fooling ourselves. And my second point, second altar call, maybe it's something that you're facing that you just want to say, you know what, I'm going to keep on trucking. I believe whenever Wayne came up here 2 weeks ago and shared his testimony, he was saying, I'm keeping on trucking. No matter what the doctor's report says, I'm keeping on going. And I know he would have, even if it wouldn't have went the way he wanted it to. But we serve a big God, and it did go the way that we wanted to. And we're believing the rest of the story for Wayne. But if you're facing something, or maybe you're not, and you just say, you know what, I want to spend 5 minutes with Jesus saying, Lord, quitting is not an option, and I'm going forward. I want